your Bibles to the book of Amos, chapter 6. Amos, the 6th chapter in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 938. We'll be reading the 1st through the 6th verses, verses 1 through 6 of the 6th chapter of Amos. Once again, in your Schofield Bible, page 938. Let's stand, please, together for the reading of the Word of God. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music, like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, that they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this great day. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our regular members here, faithful, loyal. But thank you, too, for those who visit with us today. And this is a crowd of people assembled in a rather unique spot with a unique privilege of hearing the Word of God from a man of God. But this is a great place, and great blessings and great things have transpired here. And we pray that once again that thy power and blessing would be upon us, for the benefit of all who listen, for our preacher who preaches, in Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I pray for your help today. I hunger for your power as I preach this morning. I pray for thy power and thy blessing upon us. Amen. All of the people whose names I will call have two things in common: David, Peter, Samson, Noah, Meroz, Ephraim, Jacob. All of those people have two things in common. One, they fell or chose to go into sin. They went into sin. David with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. Peter denying the Lord, the faith, and the church, denying his Savior three times at the most crucial need in the life of the Savior. Samson with Delilah. Noah with drunkenness, and perhaps even while drunk, a homosexual act. Meroz refused to fight. Ephraim turned back in the day of battle. Jacob stole the birthright, tricked his brother of his birthright and the blessing of his aged father. That's the first thing these people have in common. Are you listening to me? The first thing they have in common, they all fell. Second, by the way, I'm going to tell you today why they fell. Everybody who's ever gone away from the will of God started at the same place, exactly the same place. And I'm going to tell you where it starts. Everybody in this room this morning who's backslidden, it started at the same place where David started, where Peter's started, where Samson's started, where Noah's started, and where every other backslidden Christians started. It all starts in the same place. Second thing they have in common, talking about David and Peter, and Samson, Noah, Meroz, Ephraim, and Jacob. Second thing they had in common was they were all casualties. They were all casualties. Listen carefully. Note the word casualty. Take the last two letters off and what do you have? Casual. Casual. Casualty. Everybody who's ever gone to sin started off being casual. David was in the time when the kings went forth to battle, didn't do what he was supposed to do, became casual. And any time you become casual, you are suspect to become a casualty. It all starts the same place. The word casual, are you listening, means unplanned. Unplanned. You had some unplanned time, that's why you went into sin. You had some unplanned time, that was your first step into sin. Listen to me, boys. Hey, listen to me, I'm preaching to you. Casual. These young people in the rock concerts, where if our government had any courage, we'd outlaw the whole mess of them. These young people on dope, they are casualties. These young people on alcohol, they're casualties. Somebody said that they said, are you against young people going to the mall? Not if you go down to buy something, and you buy it, go home. I'm against young people going down the mall hanging around. Because you are right to be a casualty. There never has been a casualty without casual. The very word implies that. That's why, by the way, you shouldn't hang around anywhere and do nothing. Your life ought to be planned. The word casual, unplanned, not planned. The truth is, a casualty is a not planty. What it is. It is an unplanned tea. A casual tea. David, when it was time to go out and fight, David was casual at home, hence Bathsheba and Uriah. Samson was a casual tea. He was casually laying around with his head in Delilah's lap, not doing what he should have done. He became a casual tea because he was casual. Peter. Before Peter cursed and swore, he was warming by the devil's fire. Just standing over there, getting warm by the fire of the wrong crowd. I'm saying David, before he was a casualty, was a casual. And I'm saying that Samson, before he was a casualty, was a casual. I'm saying that Peter, before he was a casualty, was a casual. Ephraim, Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 9, Ephraim, being armed, turned back in the day of battle. Ephraim was armed, ready to fight, but didn't fight, didn't go forward. They became casual. And because they became casual, they became a casualty. Ai, mentioned in Sunday school class this morning, the battle of Ai. Israel had fought the battle of Jericho, not casual about that. Well, they begged God for his power, begged God for his strength, walked around the city six times, once a day for 6 days, seven times the 7 days, shouted, blew the trumpets, and begged God, and the walls came tumbling down. Nothing casual, but little Ai. We don't need to take all of them to Ai. We don't even need to take the Ark of the Covenant to Ai. They went down casually. You know what I learned as a kid? I learned playing football that you never stood around. Boy, if there's a pile, jump in it. Just jump right smack dab in the middle of it. The guys that get injured are the guys that are spectators.
You stand there trying to stay out of it, and you're a spectator, and some big guy comes up and clips you from the backside, and you go home with a broken leg. I just jump. Safest place is at the bottom of the pile. I mean, you got those guys over you, you're safe. I'm simply saying the curse of America is we want more casual time. More days off. Not days off to work, days off to play. Not days off for some profitable exercise, but to play. Casual. Ladies and gentlemen, the best way in the world for you to ensure that you'll never become a casualty in the family of God is keep your life planned and keep your life busy. Church at Ephesus. Bible says you've left your first love. But it also says you're neither hot nor cold. They're casual. Now, casual people are not wicked people. They're people that are potentially wicked people because they have nothing else planned. You get in trouble because you do bad because not good is not planned. You do wrong because you don't plan enough right. You keep busy planning right, you won't have time to do wrong. You keep busy planning good, you won't have time to do bad. And the casual people are people that are prospects to become casualties. And if you're not casual, then you won't be a casualty. Church at Ephesus, neither hot nor cold. God said, you're neither hot nor cold. I'll vomit you out of my mouth. That's what he said. Why? Because they were all ready to become a casualty. They were casual. Our text a while ago, Amos chapter number 6, says, woe unto those that are at ease in Zion. And you go ahead and read. The next verses, not now, but if you read those next verses, you'll find it talks about lying on beds of ivory. You're talking about sitting around sipping wine, sitting around snacking, eating the best food, just piddling. Before the Roman Empire fell, they had 167 holidays. Now, America had more character, and I'm going to get fired for this. But I'm old, I can go on Social Security. But I'll get fired for this. But the truth is, America's better off when you work 6 days a week. 10 hours a day. Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, that's awful. Wasn't awful then. Work was enjoyable back in those days. We took pride in our work. We liked to work. And we enjoyed going to work. America's going to the devil. And America's becoming a casualty as a nation because she's too casual. Unplanned time. Israel was in bondage. She went in bondage, and God told her why she was going to go in bondage. Because you're at ease. Listen to me. You're at ease in Zion. Like some of you are sitting back there talking while you all be hearing God's man this morning. And you're going to be a casualty. What we need is some young people that know how to work. What we need is some people that want to work. What we need is somebody that takes pride in their work. And people laying around, doing nothing, in them all, piddling around, are casual, and their prospects to become a casualty. Every young lady who gets pregnant out of wedlock was first casual before she became a casualty. Laying around, sitting around, talking to your boyfriend. Nothing planned. Look, if you're going to have a date, don't just sit around and stare at each other. Here's where some of you folks have your dates. Go bowling. Go play miniature golf. Go to a tap. I mean, you listen to me. You young ladies that sit around with that guy in the first place, don't marry him and don't date him. If he is not a good worker, ditch him. I'll promise you, Judge Clement back there, I'll promise you that 90% of the people that go to his court go because they're first casual. They'll break in somewhere because they don't have planned time. They'll rob somebody because they don't want to work. They'll get in trouble because they lay around someday. I'm saying, best thing in this world is when you get up in the morning, you get busy, and you stay busy till you go to bed at night.
You say, but I'm just having to work too hard.
Yeah, but you're not going to have as much discomfort as you do when you become a casualty. The whole country is wacky, except me. And the reason we're wacky is because we are too casual.
I want another day off. I want to sleep in.
Whole country is wacky. And the whole country is in liquor, on liquor, and the whole country is on dope. And when our young people got casual, they went to narcotics. When they got casual, they had time to go to rock concert. Bless God, Nazarboy, picking cotton all summer, I didn't have time to go to rock concert. I went down to my uncle's house first day, 2 or 3 weeks in the summertime, and we'd be picking cotton. And he'd say, now, son, as soon as the sun comes up, we'll be out in the field picking cotton. Boy, that cotton picking cotton is not much fun. And the timing of when you could see a light enough to see the cotton rows, and they were on our knees picking cotton, a big old sack, I'm not kidding, 12 feet long behind us. Didn't have any automatic cotton pickers. I was the automatic cotton picker. And that old sack, and picking that cotton, sticking it in a sack. And 200 or 300 pounds a day. My dad could pick 500, 600, 700 pounds a day. 200 or 300 pounds of cotton a day. And you'd get up a while. And you'd do it like this a while. And your back would kill you. And you'd get on your knees a while. And then your knees would kill you. And Uncle said you stay out there until noon. We'll come in for noon and we'll have 30 minutes for lunch. Then we'll go back out in the cotton field and we'll stay out there. I'm telling you, till 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. I'm talking about from 5 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, Uncle Roy said. And said, Jack, after that, you can just go to town and do what you want to do. I said, no rules. He said, no rules. I can do anything I want to do. You can do anything you want to do. Brother, I wasn't able to do anything. And as a teenager, I didn't become a casualty either. I didn't sit around here sucking on dope or sniffing dope or drinking liquor or having illicit sex. I'm saying I didn't have time. I was too busy to be casual. And if you're busy enough not to be casual, you can't become a casualty. Every young person who is expelled from school, did you hear me? You Hiles Anderson young men, pardon the word man. You ought to wear lace on your undershirt. No real man gets expelled from school. I said no real man gets expelled from school. I said no real man gets expelled from school. Haven't got enough character to sign out. Haven't got enough character to make up your bed. Haven't got enough character to keep the rules. Not, listen, every young person who's expelled from school, whether it's high school, junior high school, grade school, or college, is a casualty. The young people at a frenzied rock concert, every alcoholic is first a casualty. Stops at the tavern on the way home from work. Doesn't stop to drink, stops to hang around. And he becomes a casualty because he was casual. Everybody hooked on dope was first casual before they became a casualty. Every wife who fails, every husband who fails, before they're a casualty, they're casual. Every weak teacher in our school system who's casual is on his way to becoming a casualty. Every student who fails, every pastor who fails, I want to say a few words this morning. You sailors back there. Brother, when I was in the service, we didn't have any time off. You guys are you guys in the service time, you have time to be casual. You keep busy. Get you some constructive hobby. Don't you lay around those barracks. Don't you just sit around. Don't you go down. They still have day rooms. Don't you go down to the day room or the game room, just sit around and hang around. I mean, you keep busy. Casual means unplanned. And every one of you guys that wreck your lives will wreck your lives because you're too casual and you become a casualty. You truck drivers over here, I think I'll just get on you for a while. You guys have more chance to become a casualty than anybody else. You'll wreck your marriage. You'll wreck your life. You'll become an alcoholic. You'll become a dopehead. When you listen, one thing you ought to do. I can't see anybody after service. Don't forget that. But one thing hurts you guys when you quit unloading your own trucks. Oh. See, you drive the truck and everybody else unloads it while you sit there casually. Don't look at me that way. I'm not scared of all that. But you got time on your hand. You can stop at a roadside restaurant and be casual. Now you better watch it. The more chances you have to be casual, the more chances you've got to become a casualty. You housewives that do not work outside the home, you better be sure you work inside the home. You keep the house clean. You cook good meals. You keep those dishes washed. Did you hear what I said? Are you listening? Sit still in the choir. Methinks I'm about to become a casualty. Now, the sure way to avoid becoming a casualty is not to become casual. You college students, plan your extra time. You teens, you plan your extra time. You sailors, plan your extra time. When you got some time off, write your mama. You truck drivers, got some time off? Write a check and mail it to me. America's going to hell because she's casual. What's wrong with work? What's wrong with praying? You know why this church is here? Because you got a preacher that's not casual. You know why that college is out there? One reason, you got a preacher that's not casual. I don't care who it is today. If you got a successful business, I don't care if you're a judge or a doctor or a lawyer or a businessman. I don't care what you are. Anybody is successful not because you're lucky, but because you're not casual. One verse can cure it. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Don't do anything casually. Get all you got. I promise you this. I don't do anything casually. Brother, if I pray, I don't pray casually. When I read my Bible, I don't casually. I don't. It's 10:30. And I promised God I'd read the Bible. Well, I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, and I see over here. Let's see what it says over here. It says over here, for all my father's house were but dead men before my Lord the King. Well, thank God that's over. Never did get much out of the Bible.
You wouldn't get much out of the paper if you read like read the Bible. If you just read the Bible with the same intensity as you read about O.J. Simpson, you'd know as much about the Bible as you know about O.J. Simpson. And the truth is, the average person here knows more about O.J. Simpson than they know about the Bible. And the reason is, you're not doing it with all your might. Your hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Brother, I counsel. I don't counsel casually. I don't preach casually. You may have noticed that. All of America this morning, the preachers wanting to get through. I'll give anybody $50 who'll stop that clock right now. I got some more things I want to say to you. In fact, I may say I may not even stop the clock. I don't preach casually. I don't teach casually. I don't study casually. I don't pray casually. I don't study the Bible casually. Whatever my hand finds to do, I do it with my might. And I'm not pastor of this great church because I'm cute. I'm not pastor of this great church because I'm smart. I'm not pastor of this great church because I'm an intellect. I'm not pastor of this great church because I'm a great leader. I'm pastor of this church because whatsoever my hand is fine to do, I've done it with my might. Oh, you lazy rascals. I was in the army.
I didn't want to just be in the infantry. So I joined the paratroopers. And then I wanted to just be in the infantry. When I was in college, I sold men's clothing at JCPenney's store for a year and a half. I worked 5 hours a day from 12 o'clock noon till 5 in the afternoon. Store opened at 9 o'clock in the morning. The rest of the fellows worked 8 hours a day. I sold more men's clothing. I led the store every month I was there in sales. You know why? Because I wasn't casual. And you folks sitting out there saying, you know what? The working people in America are supporting the casual people. One out of every five people in America get a check from the government. And that's four working people supporting one casual person. You folks that retire. Oh boy, I'll get on you now. I shouldn't do this because you got the money. You shouldn't just sit around. You say, Brother Hiles, I'm 65 years old. I'm too old to do anything bad. I'm 68. No, no, I'm not too old to do something bad. I'm not dead yet. I'm simply saying you folks that retire should do more than get you a stick and a shuffleboard and a little disc and roll it down the get you more than a bowling ball or a bag of some golf clubs. I'm saying I don't care. As long as you live and breathe, do something constructive. When I got out of the Army, I was a floor layer for a year and a half. Laid oak floor. Didn't have automatic oak floor layers. I did the same thing I did in the pick cotton. I was a cotton picking oak floor layer. In 18 months, I could lay more oak floor than any oak floor layer in Dallas, Texas. My dad had Dallas County. My dad had laid oak floor for years. I guess for 30 years, my dad laid oak floor. In less than a year and a half, I could lay more oak floor than my dad. You say, did you have a knack for it? No, I had a work for it. I didn't loaf. I didn't make my quarter for the day and then go home. If I was working for the hour, I didn't look for the boss and sit down if the boss wasn't there and jump back up if he's there. I wouldn't give you a dime for you lazy devils. I'd a dime for you. Whatever happened to honor? Whatever happened to character? Whatever happened to integrity? I love to sneak these Sunday night sermons in on Sunday morning every once in a while. I love to get you Sunday morning glories and give you a Sunday night skinning. You wouldn't have a bunch of alcoholics in America if you didn't have a bunch of casual people. You wouldn't have danger being danger driving down the freeways in Chicago if you didn't have a casual society. And don't you blame the gangs. We have built a society of laziness and casualty. And because of that, we become casualties. When I was a paper boy, at the age of 10, I led the whole city of Dallas in selling subscriptions. So what are you doing, bragging? Yeah. So you sort of cocky, yeah. All you led in was number of beers drunk per hour. Number of snores per hour. And once in a while somebody says to me, at your age, you take a nap in the afternoon? No, I just take a nap at night. I don't take a nap in the afternoon. I'm not against it, I just don't do it. If I take a nap in the afternoon, I can't sleep at night. Some of you folks, you can't sleep at night either. You sleep real well in the morning, fairly well in the afternoon, but you toss and tumble all night long. And you sit there all you want to, and you can call me a fanatic, and you're back in the 1950s. No, I'm beyond that. I'm back in the 1920s. But laziness is laziness. I don't care when it is. As a preacher, as an older preacher, brother, I like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. He didn't say I'm giving it part of my life. He said as much as in me is. And I don't care what you're doing. If you'll not be casual, you'll not be qualified to be a casualty. You children, Hammond Baptist Grade School. Listen to me. All the children, listen to me. It's a disgrace for you to get a bunch of demerits. It's a disgrace for you not to get your homework. You teenagers, did you see the paper this week? 70-some-odd% of the students in America say it's okay to cheat. 70-some-odd% of the high school students in America say it's okay to cheat. You know why it's okay to, they think it's okay to cheat? That means they don't have to work. They can get it from somebody else and they can be casual. You might be surprised how good it feels to go to bed at night worn out. I got something I want to read to you. Quit blaming your blood pressure or your bad rearing or your chemical imbalance. We didn't have that. My mama could balance my chemicals with one old whipping, brother. Chemical imbalance. Hey, what you got? You got a laziness syndrome, character imbalance, sleepatitis, loafing nucleosis, low work pressure, and the lay down syndrome. And your doctor's getting rich off your laziness. Right? Hey, he's filthy rich up there. You young people, Hammond Baptist Junior High and High School, it's a disgrace if you not make good grades. It's a disgrace if you get a bunch of demerits. Every once in a while somebody comes to my office and brags, says, my son just got 35 demerits. 35 demerits means he did 35, he got 35 demerits for doing some things that much wrong. Don't brag on wrong. I don't care if it's one demerit. That's one too many. I feel lonely. I feel like I'm deserted by myself on an island in the South Pacific somewhere. But I feel real good. Because I'm hollering across the ocean to you to get to work. Casual. Casual. You college students. Just, you got get-by-er-itis. Get-by syndrome. It bothers me when an 18-year-old guy football can here's the interesting thing. You can play football and lift your weights with the hours. Play football till your tongue's hanging out. You go home and your mama said, "Take the garbage out." I'm tired. No, you're not. You're sorry. You're no count. You're no good. You're a dirty loafer. Am I being clear? Can you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to keep you from becoming a casualty. I'm trying to keep you from becoming a dope head in a mental ward. I'm trying to keep you from having to be cleaned up somewhere as an alcoholic. I'm trying to keep you from wrecking your life, having to be on welfare the rest of your life. I'm trying to keep you from destroying your health. I'm trying to keep you from ruining your future. I'm trying to keep you from losing your job. I'm trying to keep you, make you successful. How? You quit being casual. Casual tea. You preacher boys, if you're not going to work when you get out in the pastorate, don't be sure and let me know so I won't sign your ordination paper. Every once in a while I'll get up. Well, every Wednesday morning I get up 3:45, 4:15, so I can get back to college for chapel. About one preacher out of 10 forgets to pick me up. I'm stuck at the hotel. Didn't hear the alarm. You can hear it better if you'll set it. And the reason is they're not
They're not in the habit of getting up before the sun comes up. And when they finally get there, I say, watch at the east now. Watch in the east. I'll show you something you've never seen before. Look carefully. Right? Well, that way. It's going to get a little bit light after a while. And then a big round thing is going to start coming up. Same thing that's up here when you get up every day. If I could talk you into planning your days and planning your weeks, well, I just want to sleep in. Don't be surprised. You're looking at a man that never sleeps in. Never. Never. People walk up to me. Old men walk up to me.
Talks to us, we're the same age.
You know how they got that way? Days off. Sleeping in. A lady walked up in his house the other day. She said, look at me and look at you. We're the same age. What happened? Now, this case of this lady, she's a wonderful lady, and she's certainly an industrious, hardworking lady. Yeah, you see them toddling around. What kind of disease? You call that sleepyinitis. I'd be ashamed. You college boys, I'd be ashamed to let an old man outwork me. I really would. I'd be ashamed. Boy, you need this. America needs this. You say you're taking all the fun out of life. No, sir. I'm putting real fun in life. The griping people in America are the loafing people in America. The happy people in America are feeding the griping loafers. Did you ever stop and think about this? You're going to right now. If you spend your life, some of you folks smile or go home. You go to a basketball game. You got 50-50 chance of coming home unhappy. Same way with football. If it's a Cubs game, you got a 100% chance coming home unhappy. But brother, there's nothing in the world. You know what I like to do? Eat. I like to get in my car, and I do it often. And I drive out in front of this church and remember building this auditorium. And I remember a one long year we had to work to find the money to build it with. And I remember another long year we spent drawing the plans. Another long year it took us to build this auditorium. I like to look at the building across the street and remember how hard it was to build that. I like to drive down to the parking garage and remember how we got that. I like to drive down past City Baptist, our bus kids' school, and remember how hard it was to get that and how we worked to get that and to make it usable. I like to drive out at Baptist City, our high school, grade school, and junior high school, and recall the first time I drove out there, it was a wilderness. Not a street, not a sidewalk, not a light pole, no water line, no sewer line, a wilderness, 28 acres of wilderness. I like to think about the months we spent raising that money and building that place and organizing that place. I like to go to Hiles Anderson College and recall the sweat, blood, and tears. And you know why? I didn't do that. Loafing. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against vacations. I'm not against you taking off a couple of weeks if you want to and you get yourself a rest. I'm not against that. I'm against these 52-week vacations. If you never want to become, and don't get your hopes upset because I closed that Bible. This same Bible, which is so closed in front of you, can so be opened in like manner as you've seen it closed. If you today would decide to plan your life, if you today would decide to stay busy except when you plan time off. And by the way, when you plan time off, don't even take your vacation sitting around. Plan your vacation. Plan what you do while you're on vacation. You couples, and you have your fusses, it's because you're sitting around looking at each other. That's why your wife and you have trouble. To look at you would make anybody unhappy. I just glanced at you and I feel worse. Well, this is good. If every child, listen, I'll close. If every child in this room would decide that you're going to quit your loafing and you're going to make good grades and not get demerits, listen to me, kids, it'll change your whole future. If every teenager in this room will decide that you're not going to spend time loafing around the mall or anywhere else, if you have a date, plan it. If you're going to go out, a couple of you guys go out, plan what you're going to do. Well, we're just driving around. We were just driving around. We didn't intend to do anything wrong. We're just driving around. If every college student here would decide that you guys are going to be men for a change. You know, we don't have enough men to go around to college. I mean, 15 people just can't go around to 500 girls. Well, you say, we got more male students. I said men. I wouldn't advise any young lady to marry anybody or even date anybody who gets expelled from school. I'd quit them just like that. I'd rather live alone. That way you only have one to support. Nobody, David, Peter, Samson, Ephraim, Meroz, Israel, nobody has ever become a casualty until first he was casual. Would you bow your heads, please? No one leaving, no one moving.